interrupting the current neo-Uronial. The Rhone is still here, folks. Climate changed. The political climate's still changing, transforming right before your eyes. Behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism to bring you behind Woodshed. This is Cricket Tube Busting episode BTWRLM 530. And remember, silence here is not an option. Being crickets isn't going to cut it. It's why they eat the crickets. So you're seeing all that come right forward as we watch this whole thing just collapse around us. So we have a little bit of an example about that and the destructive force it has. I might get to it at the end of the broadcast. But first, you've been hearing me over the last few weeks here as, again, all these tabs are subject matters to tie together. We're talking about moving our consciousness out to the solar system and realizing there's a sun out there. Why? Because the foe, the foreign and domestic enemies within, are in an ideology, a green religion that says that the sun doesn't exist. And therefore nothing past the earth that man does. Not even the earth. They don't even recognize the earth at some point. Because they also want to fight the carbon-based life and existence that it is. So we have these people that are in the world that somehow have gotten into seats of decision or influence. And that's what these other folks do, the influence. The people in the government that actually have the offices, they're actually grabbing the seats of decision. And until we can kind of come to terms with that and that the infrastructure that they've been building all this time, we're seeing the effects of now is still in the system. Even if you get rid of the people, you don't get rid of all of them. It's like the concentrated evil, one little bit underneath the piano, it'll regenerate itself. And so we have quite a job here if we choose to take it. But that's our political existence. There's a reality, nature, and I wanted to get into, as I said, oceanography and sciences, and I was really good at chemistry and all that when I was younger, and that's where I was focused to go, and it just didn't work out. Everything, in fact, some of these political things got in the way, which I didn't understand at the time, and I didn't understand for years after. But that doesn't mean that I have divorced nature. The sciences, the things that we could do, the excitement, the awe of understanding and starting to learn things we don't understand. Then I ran into hear these people we talk about, these green religion types that don't expect reality to work at all, and they're going to fight against it. This brings up a different, and I won't go through too much, spiritual dimension. There's a whole quick study I could do that again. So much to talk about. We'll start out today's broadcast bringing back some ideas. There's a sun, and there's a space beyond that sun, and there's an energy in this universe, whether we fully understand it, whether our scientists really understand it. And I see lots of anomalies, but finding that these interesting concepts kind of come up, finally percolate to the top through so-called science. And I don't want to condemn a lot of it, but we are giving lip service to it recently with all these other nonsenses that come on by the invader, the usurper, that we let on and in and we haven't thrown out, then we blame our system for it, and it's actually the people. And I don't have an answer for that one because it's going to take a different thought. I have lots of people that will say they have the answer, let's do what they will do this, but it doesn't work that way. Just not being able to see a ton of actual feasible responses that can go on. And so I think that was used, as my study showed, that was put in the system and done that way to make it very difficult to throw a usurper out. Now I'm pausing here for a bit just to let you think about that. But I'm going to move into something kind of neat, kind of cool. A little bit of acknowledgement in how this dynamic of the world is. And if you don't have these variables in the models that you're dealing with, you're not going to have the right answer. Garbage in, garbage out. I don't care how much AI we've been talking about gets a hold of this stuff, it's not going to come up with the right answer. And then as I've been showing you, week to week now, even when you put AI on the job, it comes up with an answer. That answer may not actually be the one you want. They may have an answer. They may have a couple of them. But they may not actually be carefree. They may take a little bit more massaging if you decide to use them. And then maybe only in a very specific place. But we have an interesting little news article here. Some of us have been wondering why this hasn't been news before, and originally earlier, once we look at some of these things and we see there's a big, giant system of play. And I don't know about y'all, but in chemistry and physics class, we had lots of experiments and labs and things we get to do, and a little bit of this reality came to bear, and we could realize things that were, at least see the effects and tests, and get an idea that there was a bigger world that was unseen to us. That may have force and effect on us without our actually paying attention or knowing. The intriguing correlation between earthquakes and cosmic radiation. Very cool story here. There is a clear statistical correlation between global seismic activity and changes in the intensity of cosmic radiation recorded at the surface of our planet, potentially helping to predict earthquakes. Surprisingly, folks, again, this is just new stuff. I don't know why this is really new stuff. It exhibits a periodicity that escapes unambiguous physical interpretation. And here this thing is, the International Cosmic Ray Extremely Distributed Observatory Project is on the job here to find out and explain to us what is this interaction. And then basically it's explained this way. The main idea here is the observation that eddy currents in the liquid core of our planet are responsible for generating the Earth's magnetic field. The field deflects the paths of charged particles of primary cosmic radiation. Thus, if large earthquakes were associated with disturbances in the flows of matter that drive the Earth's dynamo, these disturbances would alter the magnetic field, which in turn would affect the tracks of the particles in the primary cosmic radiation in the manner that depends on the dynamics of the disturbances inside our planet. If you notice here carefully, it's very cool they're making a connection, but they totally ignore the sun. They totally ignore that maybe there's a bigger body out there that's helping to create these eddy currents and these currents. And NASA already knows that these things can break down and we can get direct connection from the space to Earth. The unsaid thing here is that the sun out there actually helps to generate our fields as well and or deflect them, however they're generated. And I was pointing out a week ago or so, relative to the makeup of the materials could make up current capacity, current storage and generation from inside the Earth itself as well, not stated in here. That very interesting. You want to think, how was a cosmic ray, something you can't even see, something that doesn't really have a mass, if you will, that I know of, at least in any, I'm talking mass like it's going to be a force and effect of anything, how it can actually do things. But now they're making the connection. There's a space out there, there's a sun, and that can cause earthquakes. I don't know how long it's going to be before they start figuring things out a little bit better. But if these things are not modeled into your weather, if you will, because it's a dynamic in the Earth and it's contributory to certain things ongoing as well, and then you figure out if it's actually generating that much, then we get to the volcanoes and all that thing. But anyway, we'll stop here. Just think about that. Cosmic rays are figuring out that they can be predictive of earthquakes. And I'm not saying I'm underwriting this app because I don't know about it and I don't know the privacy in it. I don't know the breakdown for it. But they actually have an app that can take your smartphone and make it a cosmic ray detector. And if you're so brave as to download that and put it in your machine, maybe you too can hear the ticks like a Geiger counter. Or make yourself a cloud chamber with the dry ice. It's kind of neat. A neat little trick is to see things, the invisible. Get ourselves a little bit more knowledge as we learn more about our world around us. A different world than it's being described and regulated in our lives. That we should be living in, that we're not, that these psychopaths in the world are taking advantage of, and are silenced to it, and building in their infrastructure and their agents everywhere. Another thing here, talk about gender dysphoria in the news here this week, comes up, a UK teacher brands pupils despicable in gender row. These things that I'm seeing today are just so beyond my mind, my sensibilities in the world being brought up in all this. I would never have thought a teacher would call their students despicable. I mean, I've liked a couple of my instructors, my teachers, but they never called us despicable. And so here we are to this world, and this showing us a different, the information that we're getting from these people is just not quality. It's too, again, we understand that it's more inculcation, not education. In a recorded heated exchange, the educator said she would report students who rejected her inclusivity agenda. During the lesson, the unidentified teacher can be heard arguing with two girls over the idea that there can be only two genders. One of them says gender is linked to biology, and that she expects that view to be respected, just as she respects different opinions on the matter. The teacher replies that, quote, it's just not an opinion, close quote, and tells the children that there are three biological sexes, including intersex, and that, quote, there are lots of genders, close quote. Now, we've heard last week that this confusion is a psychiatric disorder. And so the promotion of this is certainly not going to be educating the young ones in the right way. What I found despicable, if we're going to go there, was that biology is not an opinion. And gender dysphoria is a psychological problem and a mental illness. And what's despicable is the teacher's authoritarian abuse that's been allowed to enter into our schools. Is we're not now educating people. We're kids. We're trying to teach them what they're supposed to know to function more correctly in the future that's coming. And we're not giving them the information. We're keeping from them the information they need to be thinking people eventually. Or at least better thinking. I don't know about proper, but better thinking. Having more information. In a way, they do the correlation, this artificial intelligence. It's the same thing with people. They have garbage in, they will get garbage out. They might even believe that that garbage is the, well, you know, one man's garbage is another man's treasure, I suppose. It's not applied that way, but that's the point here. We need to be given the information. We need to not be blocked from information so we can make better decisions. And my observation is more quickly. We can come to the answer we need much more quickly if we're not being obstructed and we're treated, not abused by these people that are in systems under the color of justice and under the color of law that don't care about any of it, make every excuse to avoid it. With all the news of the exposure of so-called whistleblowers coming about the corruption that's been going on in this nation, in various areas, many areas, in the agency, the alphabet agencies, FBI, DOJ, all this other thing, we are being held back as a people to make certain decisions. And I hope you start to see that a lot of it is disaffectual, too. It doesn't want to, there's no accountability. And so information is important, and they keep us dumb. We're dumbed down, and we don't understand. We start running from our emotions and what we think we know, and we can have lots of pieces missing that would have given us an answer pretty quickly. One thing about this information is our press, our journalism, and I wanted to take note because there's been some important issues. The information that we get from Julian Assange and educating us on some of these crimes in that the United States in particular did as a parent, if we hadn't known some of these things, we wouldn't know. In a way, we wouldn't be, our minds wouldn't be set up that it was possible because we're living in some euphoria that our propaganda to us as we were thinking it was education was giving to us. But key witness in Assange case admits to lies in indictment. But where it comes out that all this sanctity of an affidavit, the sanctity of testimony is not so much anymore, and people have no restraint from giving the lies and being coy with not forthcoming with the truth. It turns out a major witness in the United States Department of Justice, a case against Julian Assange, has admitted to fabricating key accusations in the indictment against the WikiLeaks founder. And this is that kid. I talked about him years ago. I don't know anything about these people, but they come up and we talk about them and we kind of point out things that were going on. We take it on face value. The Sigurdur Ingi Þórðarson was being truthful. Well, in fact, he's just another culprit on things that were going on that he was doing, embezzling money from WikiLeaks, making up stories, making up affidavits that were not true, and he got caught. This is what the case and the FBI and the Department of Justice have been using, giving immunities to these people, that they have someone like Julian Assange, who has not been shown, given the presumption of innocence, is being held in inhumane way, in my estimation, being held at all right now without being out and about while he's supposed to be presumed innocent is another crime. Being facing an organization that's been declared, the United States government has been declared to have an inhumane prison system that other UK courts have not allowed extradition for, to watch this guy go through this, can only lead to today's information, idea about information, that they don't want us. People who give information that can do something, that inform us, is got to be stifled. Why? I mean, if we know the truth and we know the crime, we're supposed to arrest it and we should be able to. The corollary to that, when we're not, then we can't. And so we can't be a functional society. So this is the underlying thing here. We're not a functional society. And I mean in the better ways. We kind of shrug our shoulders to that possibility, but that just shows that we don't intend to make it ourselves. Why I say it's really on us. So this is what the United States does. It fabricates testimony. It gives immunities. I don't think it ought to, where you got a criminal. Whereas the party that we're dealing with has shown themselves to be other than upstanding. We can't give them that presumption anymore. Everything needs to be tested. And, the United States government agencies don't do that. The DOJ doesn't do that. They actually use these things to go after people. And Julian Assange is the product. Somebody who is acknowledged to be a journalist who gives us information that brought our awareness as to the improperness of the government in the United States and now has been attacked so that he can't do that anymore. And I'm hesitating here a little bit. That information should have caused the public to stop and look at its government to fix that. That it doesn't is not what I'm talking about. That we have the need and he has the right to give us that information is what I'm talking about. The United States government will use any mechanism in order to vilify someone. And it's now coming up. Again, I'm also having a problem, and I've talked about this, the attorneys, the courts, all this, the press looking in, all the people that are so concerned, no one sending letters to collaterally attack this to show that justice is, see, it's all about confidence and trust in the system. And if the people are not communicating that they don't not, with all of these problems, they're not seeing and believing, they're not trusting in their system, have no confidence in it, that's the weak Achilles heel that I see hardly anybody collaterally attacking the various oversight organizations everywhere, whether that's even the corrupt bar association. It's about getting that message out and to them so they have to start dealing with it. And people come after that and make sure that some recognizable justice is ethic, if even the basic ethics is made, is done. Nobody's really pulling that off. And I'm a little bit of dismay. The attorneys are not here to seemingly do anything. I've talked about all this. And they're not. And so we have an injustice, and it's all about attacking information. They don't want this guy out to give us any more, and they want to make him an example. And this is really, to me, the biggest problem about all of this. If we're not given information, or we're only given some information, and it's given to us. And this is what this misinformation, disinformation thing is about, and all these censorships are about. If we don't have this information, or it's being adulterated to us, or claimed to be, we're not able to make any decisions. And there's a twofold problem. They want us to give up, and we likely might, because we can't get the information. I know I get discouraged anymore. There's so much information, it's not, I can see right through it pretty quickly that it's wasting my time going there. But I start to say, well, why am I still using these tools to do anything? But if I do that, then I'm going to be missing what little bit I do need, and I can't maybe come here to talk about it, and maybe have everybody else who listens, who will tune in and listen, be thinking about it too, and maybe eventually we come to a massive understanding and then action, ultimately. That this is a serious incursion. Julian Assange has been, they've agreed that he can be extradited into the United States, a place that the United Kingdom courts have said is the United States is being an inhumane prison system. I mean, just that thought alone, just I can't get past that a little bit. That he's now before going to be extradited with one more decision from their high court. And I don't hear the type of attack going on that I would think if you're aggressively defending someone and people are watching in to seek justice. Nobody's grabbing this up and sending in their, starting the process is the collateral complaints into the system to show that this is not to happen. This is not trustworthy. This is not, gives no confidence in the system. And bring your list of five or so complaints that are valid and provable, not just your opinion. I don't know why we don't do this more in the face of having no one else doing anything. We can still do certain things until we can work out better how more efficiently it should be working. Then we get this information from the government, and then you got to weed through it, and they are the expert, and they're presumed. Every time I'm helping people, most people don't appreciate how big a problem the presumption that government is right is when it's not. And they use that to the highest extent. You know, you're watching that in the sun. It's all wrong, but no one's complaining about that injustice either. Moving from last week to this week about misinformation from the government and how it creates enemies and what it sets up in for the future, right, wrong, or indifferent. It's not about what we think. It's about what it's going to be used for and how it sets up a plausible future that it can act that gets most people to say okay or not respond. U.S. military veterans are most prone to terrorism, says a study. Researchers have found that ex-soldiers have a propensity to launch mass casualty attacks. I won't go through all their reasoning. We understand now government will find the facts it needs. It cherry picks. Even if it's logical, reasonable to expect someone trained to do mass casualty, to do war, would be better situated to do it. But a propensity, I've not actually found that. And so myself, I don't know that I can believe in that. The point is, we're not talking about that. We're talking about a news article that comes out that starts to point out that veterans are a problem. Ones who fought for the freedoms that we thought we had are a problem. And this is the same type of thing as a Julian Assange. It doesn't stop with him. Everyone says, oh, it's just him over there in the UK. No, this is how they cause a perception management relative to people that we need and helped us and could help us and are trained to help us and give us better information and or a heads up or whatever we need as a people. This is an important story. I don't know what other people think about it. Notwithstanding my question about military and what it does, we still need as a nation a protection. People, for whatever reason, move into the military to do what they believe. We see around the world, they believe in national causes, especially if the government itself can frame it, we are being attacked, we need protection, people will step up. That's what they prey on. The validity of all that is all based on this misinformation as well. It can be. It may be legitimate, and it may not be. But to tell the people that the veteran has a propensity, like that's what's going on, is just setting up for another attack against the people. And they've been talking about this for a long time. This is not even really news. When we went to 9/11, we see a little bit of that. The head that rolled the highest from the highest so far was a veteran in the Oath Keepers over J6. This is not inconsequential to these perception management conditions and seeds dropped along the way, as we also see society being put under the scrutiny of the DHS, which is really that continuity of government situation. So understand that's rolling here too. DHS wanted to track internet users with risk score think tanks, as the Night Fury program sought to use automated methods to detect supposedly pro-terrorists' social media accounts. This is just the head of these stories, and there's more if you're interested in this on what's going on behind the scenes. They say they want it. I would tell you that it's working. They have done it. We saw that in all the Twitter things. They've set it up working hand in glove with the government and the media system, so the modernized Smith-Mundt Act, I would have to say, which is now they need to go perception management back and forth, and then you have the perception management objective of the government that I've been, the Army, the military, is exactly what this would be doing. The risk score was there. They wanted to track. They are tracked. They just get the feed from any of these social medias, and they're going through their algorithms and automatic methods. Well, let's get back to the fact that they just said that there's veterans that have a propensity. Well, I'm sure that those veterans are on the top of one of the top of the list, and this has been a target this whole time. We the people would need that training to go defend ourselves against the government. So we're also seeing the DHS and the government is not adhering to its obligation to allow us the ability to alter and amend. And maybe use the Second Amendment to do that. And maybe be trained to do that. See, this is all that people don't maybe quite understand. I can't say that I'm trained, even though I have the right as well, mutually with all of y'all, if we were to have to do that. I don't know how a handful would do it anymore, but at any rate, if that came to that, I would not be trained to execute upon my right, actually, the way it would have to come down. And I don't think that there's a lot of people that are, but these veterans would be. I wouldn't know necessarily how to best communicate through so many column inches of an article, what a journalism major, a professional may be able to do to convey an idea. I can write, I can make letters, I can do things, but to be in a status of to function in the expectation is a little bit different. We talk about professionals, remove the money part of that. Someone who knows what they're doing. They're effective. They can be very effective. One thing that did impress me, because I've never been around it a bit at all, was the Oath Keepers. They could mass together quick, and they could organize up real fast and become a mobile unit pretty quickly to do things. What I found was that their limitation was the intelligence. They didn't have the proper information. And so out of their heart, they're running. And they were able to come quickly together, faster than the government could when it decided to move. And that's what threatens the government. But other than that, when I found out their intelligence was incorrect and their knowledge of the law applying that was insufficient, and not an opinion, that I was dealing with it with a couple of guys higher up in their system and making the decisions for lots of guys in the mining issues. You had probably heard those in the news. Behind the scenes, I'm trying to explain to them, this is how you got to look through that. They weren't interested. That showed me we have a problem. The veterans may be ready to go, but they mean we as a people are not ready to move. And that's cautioned me a bit on all this. But the government is making scores. The risk score, do you think that's a social credit score, folks? Do you think this is already moving? The continuity of government organizations are already on the forefront. It says they want it. No, I'm saying that they have it. They will compile these lists on suspected accounts, and social media companies would hand them over these lists to the DHS, along with everything else that you've handed to them, or they can derive from your accounts that you handed to them. Partly why I don't have anything to give them. I never have. I keep telling them I have nothing. I hope you are too. But here we have the infrastructure for an intelligence gathering system for the government, the military. And worse yet, since 9/11 was this war of terror on everywhere that views the people who have the right to stop it, which is, makes us an enemy right off the bat, eventually here, become the target. And so the social media companies are handing, were, and maybe we see a little bit from Twitter, how do you know it's not happening everywhere else? We know it is. That track and trace everything about you. And this gets me back over into this problem, what we see with Twitter, and we'll get to verification here pretty soon. But not that I'm going to get into it, just to mention it. The Pentagon scans social media to prevent embarrassment of generals, and now another escalation. If you speak out now against a general like Milley, the picture that's on this link here, they will be looking at you. And so a lot of people say, oh, I don't care. That's fine. I'm not talking about not caring. I'm talking about this is what the government's doing against you and your right to have so-called free speech. There's not going to be a criticism. That risk scored looks like no different than social credit, but it's based in a terrorism condition viewed from a military view on a continuity of the government against you. Generals are probably among the last people you'd expect to have thin social media skin. Nevertheless, here we are, the United States, the Secret Service of the Pentagon Department of Defense is tasked with protecting top military personnel on many fronts, reasonable ones such as assassination, kidnapping, etc., but also no less than from, quote, embarrassment. And I'll stop right there. This is where we've come. And there's a story you could read. You can go through. The Intercept brings out mean tweets. This is how low this goes. It doesn't take much, folks. This is when they go from an Assange, and you go to your veterans, and now they come to you. And all you got to do is say something mean. Not illegal, not even untrue. If they just don't like you, is it sufficient to put you on the wrong side? This is not fear. I'm telling you, this is the environment we're in right now. And if we're not paying attention to that, well, it's part of how we would resist at all. I talk to you and say, don't engage where you don't have to. Don't be in the way. If you don't know they're already doing this, and you want to give yourself some time to not be made and put in the way, you're going to have to acknowledge something about this and start to pay attention on the directions you might go. In some regard, I don't care either. The thought comes to me, and it looks like I'm going to support it. I have a supportable position on it. It's going to be stated. But at some point, there's a line between doing that and showing yourself up too soon. And this is what's been going on. They identify the people like they've just made veterans a problem. That's a whole lot of people. They're not bashful to say that and go after those folks to give them the higher ratings so that they become the first to be taken out, if you will, the first to be looked at, to be controlled. And you're walking yourself into a magnitude larger problem with what I'm suggesting you need to do. They start to encroach upon your ability to do that. And if you're not listening to what I'm saying on how that works, you're not positioning yourself to resist that presumption against you. And this is why I say the only objective basis we have is the law, and we better speak through that, whether they recognize it or not, whether there's a justice system that a judicial branch that recognizes it, the people recognize it. The FDA wants people to report misinformation. They're just tattling on everything. This is just the repeated information, but the system that's declared war against the people is perception management. They want you to help them defeat you. Now, these people that think that they see misinformation, as I've been explaining to you all, you should be able to see by now, everyone's seemingly misinformed. So everybody could be complained of being misinformed. But the problem is the scrutiny of the government asking, having no right to ask. In particular, what we find out in the FDA wants people to report misinformation. We don't know the jurisdiction, actual jurisdiction, over which the FDA would be able to say that in the States or any of this, or regarding free speech. Where is the conviction after probable cause complaint that said that these things are misinformation is my main problem with all of this relative to social media and the governments. only seen a couple prosecution cases. I've seen one where somebody, social media relied on the conviction of a court that declared that someone had violated the law. They were found in a court of law. I think it was one case. That's the only one. All of this should be going through due process, none of which is. They just put it out to the public that they want to be the controller of the information and they want you to capitulate what you think is misinformation, giving them the authority to determine whether that is or not. And then they have you because you think you're, I don't know what you think you are, but you're helping, I suppose. The FDA is involved in misinformation related to health and medical topics online. The initiative known as the Rumor Control page invites users to report instances of perceived misinformation on the internet. Perceived that veterans are a problem. Perceived because there's supposed to be a presumption of innocence that Assange is a criminal that needs to be extradited and put into the most inhumane prison system in the world, I understand. Perceived. This is that presumptive emergency I keep talking to you about, the Covey swindle. Explain to everybody if we would just observe that and start putting it in practice. So the FDA is looking around, but it seems to me if you're looking for misinformation, just look to the government. Just come home to your government and look. It seems to be completely misinformation. So maybe, as I say that, maybe that's a tool you can start showing if you dare. If you do, you can put this information, say, this is misinformation. This has been misinformation. Don't do something that Snopes can destroy. Do something that can't be destroyed. Well, I keep telling you, the only option you're going to have is to go, if there is, go by a law, or for the sake of the agencies, it's administrative law. Did they do the hearings about doing that? Did they expose it? Did they declare the right to do it? If we go into suspected, that may sound like there's a probable cause basis, but that's not the truth, and that's the crime side. Then you have the agency side, which is much lower. It's just suspected. And so this gives us a tool to have the federal agencies attack other people, is the other point. And it's all on, seems to be, no quality information, because this whole system is set up to cause the misinformation and disinformation. As I went through with the CDC misinformation, where, well, it's interesting to get at that. They were telling you the truth if you knew what they were saying, if you knew the code words, how they were saying. But the overall effect was a misinformation based on their intention. Their intention was, let's say, for the test. They said that, if you look, they said there was no test. I went through all that. And yet they said that they had one. That's the disinformation. And so we're not checking that. But they're going to use that against us. Again, the government is presumed to be correct in all this stuff. Why else would it do this? And yet we see these stories doublespeak. The State Department warns about online censorship, then threatens to hold platforms accountable. Where is the power in the government to interfere with any speech not criminal? It hasn't been stated here, but the government just runs with it. In a startling display of doublespeak at the Summit of for Democracy of 2023, United States Secretary Antony Blinken warned about more countries, quote, using the internet to try to control speech, and claimed that the Biden administration is trying to promote an open internet before threatening to hold the platforms accountable for so-called harms. So it's not like this government doesn't know about harms, but they certainly ignored them with the Covey story. So this is not about doing things that are right. This guy is really a problem anyway. But Blinken raised the alarm about the internet growing more closed, more insecure, more siloed by the day. The doublespeak, that's exactly what perception management wants to do. Wants to come in and be able to confine the discussion, determine what's correct, make up, presume people to be doing it wrong, all without any kind of due process judicial check. And I'm going to take that advisedly that there may not be that check. The point is that would be an objective observation that says things are you can't do are illegal versus everything else that can't be questioned. It's pretty clear, relatively clear. Only a few cases that where it's not clear. But while they're saying, you know, again, as the Blinken works with nations to try to deceive and move the brutality of the United States forward in the world, is the same doublespeak that they use against you. And so I keep telling you that what they'll do to other people, what anybody would do to somebody else, they'll do it wherever they decide they need to, even to you, relative to these governments. So the doublespeak is clear. We should be able to highlight all this stuff for ourselves. we should be able to defend ourselves with it. Not many people seem to. And I know it's not fun, but, I mean, but this is where we don't engage these, and these things keep going. Could we get to this type of an authoritarian attitude coming here? Because I've been telling you these companies, these social media companies, just corporations, they will eventually capitulate if they want to continue to do anything in the world and or do their prime mission, which is a profit to their shareholders. They will not stop for a principle. It may sound like they will, but they ultimately won't. And there's more and more evidence of this coming down. EU threatens Twitter over disinformation, stating you can run, but you can't hide. Think about this attitude. The EU, you can run, but you can't hide. And I don't think it's different than in the United States, where DHS says, we want to do these risk scores. Veterans, you're a terrorist. You can run. We take all this information. You can run, but you can't hide. Now, you can, well, for a while, unless you get real targeted, then watch out. Anybody who really wants you to be found, you're unlikely not going to do it. You'll do it for a while, maybe. And this is where they're going to get everybody eventually. But you can run, but you can't hide. Comply or die. And you can't hide from that obligation. European Union's Internal Markets Commissioner, Thierry Breton, confirmed that Twitter had ditched the EU's code of practice on disinformation. He warned that the platform cannot hide from obligations to censor content. You can run, but you can't hide, Breton threatened in a tweet. In a tweet on Elon Musk's own property. Pretty fascinating. Beyond voluntary commitments, fighting disinformation will be a legal obligation under DSA as of August 25th. Breton continued, our teams will be ready for enforcement. Breton was referring to the censorship law, the controversial Digital Services Act, DSA. A new set of rules for social media platforms operating in Europe would require them to actively police content or risk fines of up to 6% of global turnover. This is where you start to see where governments will go extrajudicial. They don't stay within their jurisdictions, and this should have been a first sign of a real problem with all of us, everybody everywhere. That when we, heard that the FBI wasn't limited to its own jurisdiction underneath these theories that they set up about national security. There's no limit to all these jurisdictions. They're essentially showing you this is like one government anyway. But we have all our special little rules for our special area, but we can reach out and touch somebody some anywhere. The current code of practice, which is voluntary, includes obligations for social media to stop the monetization of disinformation, monitor political advertising, and allow third parties to access their algorithms. Now, third parties into their algorithms would be like trade secret stuff. The EU doesn't care to honor that at all, if that's what that could be conceived of. And this is, again, someone looking in and saying, we're going to impose upon you. In February, Twitter did not submit a report on its implementation of the code. It was the only major platform to fail to do so. Here we have capitulation immediately, except for Twitter. And we say, okay, good on you, Musk. You're going to stand up for principle, we say. Unlike the code of practice, the DSA is legally binding, and large platforms like Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, Pinterest, Snapchat, and LinkedIn will have to comply with it if they want to operate in Europe. And there is no corporation that will not do this. As I've been saying, you cannot rely on these corporations to have any principle. And then it turns out, in fact, Elon Musk has capitulated. He's going to follow the rules. And that's been a soft agreement. But that's what they have to do. So if you think there's a bastion anywhere of freedom and being able to discuss these things, it's not going to have the oversight of some rules of some bureaucrat somewhere. Give it up. I mean, as I said, this is not our internet anymore. It hasn't been. It wasn't set up actually to be. So you can run, but you can't hide on the internet, folks. Anyway, global. Again, the disinformation, what is that? It's what they decide. It's what an undisclosed, unproven, mere presumption of harm will decide in a third party against you. So I would have to ask you to think back a little bit. Can you say Covey swindle, folks? I knew you could. An unproven presumption of harm, folks, is exactly what they did in Covey swindle. You think these folks are doing some new program or they're coming on with this new subject matter? No, it's all the same. They have the same plan running, and it's identified and stopped in the same ways. But this is the intent of an authoritarian rule in the world, around the world. You can run, but you can't hide. The more information they get on you, they can't hide. One of the, if you will, the secrets on some of what you do with the government is you make sure they can't find you. if you can. And a lot of the things you need to avoid is all the things, if you will, if you, for a short list, well, it's a pretty decent list. Go to your motor vehicle code and find out what constitutes residency. And don't do any of that. That starts it. It's tough, but that's where it goes. Most people don't do that. Most people haven't an idea about that. And I say these things with guarded. I'm not giving you advice at all, because this is not an easy road, and they don't want it to be easy. They want everybody to comply or die. You can't hide. And for the most part, that's true. There's just no way. You can't be in a place and not be affected by it or by things around it, especially with people that are now believing they're doing a public good to tattle. Now, what people know about the FDA's jurisdiction and what it's supposed to do in the streets, I don't have a clue. But they're asking you. CDC, same way. Social media to the DHS, same way. No one seems to understand how simple it is for us to be brought down. No one seems to understand we have problems with the, well, we understand we have problems with the agencies. When I say the, like the alphabet agencies, what I'm saying is that this infrastructure is inside working, been working. They bolstered it since 9/11. They were given all the rights to do so in Congress and the money to do it. And I don't know how we're going to stop all that problem. Certainly there's lots of us that have been saying what they ought to do. In other words, stop buying the service. Stop allowing the problem. But you're realizing here in these last few months that there's really not much people can do as a representative either. And then so we go, we start shrugging our shoulders. But that's not an answer. Because, again, the way this place is wired, you have to alter and abolish what doesn't work anymore. How anyone does that, I don't see. How a small group does it, I don't see. So I don't know what the real answer is. And I haven't seen the unification of people mutually helping each other to understand. I guess I can use the Oath Keepers. They can amass a bunch of people. They can get organized. But their intelligence is faulty. Their knowledge of conditions is faulty. And they're not much more effective than just to be a presence. We're not going to move beyond to alter and abolish things that are the cause. I could be wrong, but I've not seen the evidence otherwise, so I'm just going to say that way because I want to be cautious about becoming the target while no one else is sitting there to protect or be enough. This is the problem with the social media. They get the temperature of the people. They can start to misinform and disinform under the color of protecting them. FBI worked with Ukrainian intelligence services to censor Twitter users and get personal data. Again, big data. They're always getting information from you. What's the FBI doing in Ukraine? I mean, it's a rhetorical question. I don't really ask questions. I'm asking a question for you to think to bring the answer, because the answer is the what I'm pointing at. It's the problem that we're dealing with, that the FBI would go there and do that to ask for your information. The Twitter files is an ongoing series of disclosures resulting in the probe of documents given to select journalists by Twitter owner Elon Musk. The latest Twitter files revealed that the FBI worked with Security Service of Ukraine in an attempt to pressure Twitter to censor accounts that ran counter to Ukraine's narrative and requested personal information of those users. Now, what they're doing is stifling information. They've decided if somebody countered that your information's no good, it shouldn't be heard. What's the FBI engaged in that? There's no law breaking in that also. First, they're international. Then they're addressing something to make people targets when there hasn't been a conviction of a crime. Just a couple problems right off the bat. But that the government agencies are in the backside of the, even a Twitter, even though a little bit of resistance that Elon Musk will do. Again, he was resistant, gets you excited, that he's going to be the principled guy, and then he capitulates. And that's not even a question. He has to capitulate if he wants to function. He's not going to throw $44 billion into the ocean because his principal says he's going to stop functioning in the EU. It's just, I can't see that happening. Yeah, I could be wrong. He may have made a change here. He was, I called him disingenuous, kept that warning on the BitChute account. Someone made comment. It's been months and months. He keeps this warning that you're going to get some problem spam or illegal content on the whole of the BitChute platform. Somebody made statement again that he hasn't fixed it. I looked at it. It was on my account. And I told him I've got content that violates no laws, violates no principle policy. Twitter's violating its own policy and principles. And it's disingenuous for him to continue his platform. Now, I don't know if he even saw my Twitter, but I understand now he's removed. They have removed it. So we don't have any force and effect. Social media is not really an interaction. For me, it certainly hasn't been. But we can just see things happening over time. Why did it take that long? Shows me he's disingenuous. It wasn't based in law. It's all based in these policies. And those policies are driven by the pressures behind the scenes that we'll never know. We're not informed about those. And likely they've been told it's national security reasons. It's all a lie. What does Ukraine have to do with my free speech? Talking against the Zio puppet? I don't know. What does the government of the United States have to do with its military looking at me because I don't think that Milley, well, I think he's an idiot, let's say. Lately, he's been kind of saying some soft truths, but he's on his way out. He's not saying any strong truths, but he's on his way out. He should have never been brought in, from what I can tell, but I'm not the president, and I'm not the military. But we see what's going on over in Ukraine. We see, again, the corruption behind all of it all. We see the money laundering system it is. We see the arms laundering system that it is. And we see the investment system, ultimately, the economic investment system that it is for private corporations. You keep giving information to all these social platforms, in this case, Twitter. In this case, we're going to go right to those blue check people. You have to give up information or ask to be verified. I don't know why anybody in the real public square has to be verified, authenticated. But you give them information. You don't think that that's what's being passed over to the government? And so for a cause you think is principled, you give up your information. And I don't know how you aren't a verified dupe at that point. When we see a war against the people, and people will go past reason on a promotion of principle to say, I'm going to support that principle, and then you see the guy fail, and yet you've given up all your information, and we have evidence after evidence that these social media platforms are just big data gathering systems to allow the government behind the scenes to identify you without you knowing it. And who knows what trouble they can cause when you come to a high level of interest to them. It may be from the small amount of listenership I have behind which it keeps me a bit protected. I don't know. I don't know why I have such a small listenership relative to the information that I pass. I haven't figured all that out, but that may be a protective thing. I'm not asking for that. I could care less in some regard anymore. But they wait till you come up to a certain space, a size, and influence, and then we see things happen to the point that they'll come after you like Julian Assange, and they stick you into an inhumane system. And no one questions that part of it, or the processes, or the rules that are violated in mass. You say, oh, it doesn't matter. I think it does. I think you get enough people, everybody in the world on Assange, on his case, writing complaints to the attorneys that are prosecuting, the attorneys that are defending, and improperly you find the ethics rules they're violating relative to the procedures you know that they're supposed to be doing to defend him properly and aren't. The judiciary, the judges that are there, whatever they're called in England, they're allowing these problems, not your opinion about them, that they're allowing an extradition to a country that the country of the United Kingdom has already said is inhumane, the mistreatments that you've confined, into the authorities that look over the shoulder of all these authorities, which you can say doesn't work. I am telling you, you get enough massive force that they have to start dealing with that. They want to get rid of the problem too. They're just a bureaucrat. They don't want that kind of scrutiny. I don't see any of that going on. But are you a verified dupe when you get verified in Twitter, when you give all the information and you've now heard a bunch of content coming, that the social media is just tapped by the government and looks for problems to move the government's agenda or keep you, the resistor to it, silent so that people don't get the information they need? It's, again, a complete control of information. It's domain control. And I've been talking about perception management. The cyberspace is a war domain, the battlefield of the Internet of Things. I mean, I don't know how many times I can repeat this stuff. It's important to understand and realize you can use the tool, but understand the vulnerabilities within the tool. That's why I really don't attach myself in many places. I haven't found a better alternative yet either. And maybe that's part of the problem. I'm not a party guy getting to all these places around the Internet to say, oh, here we are. Look at what I have to say. I'm really not that out and forward. Actually, I'm a hermit in some part, but I was encouraged to do this broadcast because it could help people. It has. I wish it would help more because we have some serious problems. We have the FBI going over and utilizing Ukraine to support that, come after you if you don't like it, and make you a target by the FBI in your town. Ukraine's propaganda machine is vital to Zelensky. Here's how it works. Again, propaganda. There's no reality behind it. In fact, I look at the internet trying to find some information from the Ukraine side of the war to try and balance out what the Russian side's doing. I can't trust any of it coming out of the Ukraine side. It's really a pathetic condition, showing you that this is a propaganda war. This is not really a reality war. Russia's telling us, whether I can agree with the numbers and all that, and Russia's, you don't hear any deaths coming out of Russia, which is a problem for me. They tell you it's 1 to 10. If that's true, we can't prove it, but if that's true, Ukraine's done. I don't even need to know much more. The point is, this is not about a war. It's not even about a special operation. This is about a propaganda machine the United States is fomenting to do something there geopolitically. But when they need a Ukraine, has a propaganda machine, and it's vital to Zelensky. They'll tell you how this works if you want to know about it. But I found this interesting here. Interesting how people's minds work and what something I can't do. I can't find that thing, that symbol that would cause a rally around. These folks understand how to do that. Symbolic campaigns like these occur regularly in Ukraine and are designed to encourage the population. In November of last year, when Russian troops withdrew from the west bank of the Kherson region and the AFU entered the eponymous regional capital, a national social media campaign urged users to place images of watermelons, the area grows them, on their profile pictures. Kherson has been known for many things in its history, such as shipbuilding in the times of the Russian Empire and the USSR. However, for some reason, Ukraine's propaganda decided to associate solely with watermelons, and the imagery was well received by society. In a state of victorious euphoria, people forgot about the regular blackouts and ongoing fighting in the region. Why would I be bringing that story up? What is the watermelon? They don't even understand. The propagandists knew to use it. Do you folks over that are verified in Twitter think that your little blue check, your gray check, whatever color, rainbow color check, isn't that watermelon? I was fascinated by this story. Why would people get excited about it? They did. They got excited about a watermelon. This is beyond nationalism here now. Yeah, I just want to point this out. I don't know what people think about what they're seeing and doing in any of the social media. I just happen to fix on the Twitter. That's really the only one I seem to do. I got the mines and I got the bit shoot, and that's pretty much it. Thank you all for listening to those various areas and places. I appreciate that. But these, again, are the watermelon check marks. They're supporting Twitter, Elon Musk, for his principle. And you will pay the money to get your check mark. But to do that, you have to give up your personal information on someone who's just running a corporation, his own. I don't see the watermelon being any different than that check mark. The check mark no different than that watermelon. It's a propaganda show. And people get with it. They put their bucks down every month. They give them the information, and they think that's okay. And yet they end up capitulating the information to the government that's using it against you at some point. And well, we may never know. I mean, why would I put a tweet out and only with 300 people, still after 12 or so years, 300 people that follow me? Amazing. I can only follow a few. They cut me off. I can't follow anymore. For years that's been. Why would I only have two people responding, maybe three sometimes, to a tweet? Unless there's some kind of a block. You'd think by accident more people would come along per tweet. Why am I being almost courted by a bunch of pretty women, pretty girls in these little icons now, giving me a like on what I do? I've never seen them before. Why are they coming even to my, if no one else can see my broadcast, my tweets, why are they showing up? Has to be play inside the system. It's a joke. And yet, we have people that think they're verified. Don't think that the check mark isn't the watermelon, a propaganda tool that they fell into. And I'm saying it that way because that's what I see people doing. They're doing it with lots of things. RFK Jr. is another guy. Boy, I sure like to believe him, but he's soundbite stumping. The guy underneath, the attorney underneath, is what I'm concerned about. He's going to advance everything that everybody else is in there doing, ultimately. He's just not going to do it the way that everybody else has done it. This propaganda campaign requires the information on the ground to give us more information that we can make decisions about, whether it's not a decision in action, it's a decision in perception. Again, the perception management. Typical lying U.S. and allied news reporting from Ukraine. This is a report with a picture of Patrick Lancaster on it. And I don't know if you know anything about him. He's on the ground over there. I appreciate his, maybe it's daring. I don't know. Sometimes I wonder about the kid. But he's doing a good job. He did a report. He ran a little too quick to a place that got hit twice by Ukraine. Ukraine blamed Russia for attacking a building, a place, an institute. He got almost a little bit too close, coming in too quick. Luckily, he was 20 minutes away. It took him 20 minutes to get to the place. As he's getting in and running to the place to get the report, Ukraine double taps them with more missiles coming in. He throws himself behind a tree. And one time, I thought I heard a piece of shrapnel flying by him, and I think he responds to it. What was interesting about this propaganda that goes on, there was another reporter that was running over the top of him. He's actually in the mainstream media reporter's video. And they blamed Russia, the mainstream media blamed Russia. Well, we had the video from Patrick Lancaster showing and then explaining who actually did it, that the propaganda machine of the West was telling and blaming Russia. That without Patrick Lancaster's, sacrifice in a way, it was really close this time. I'm always concerned about this. He actually inspires me to think I wish I could do something like what he's doing, because the truth needs to get out from there. And to me, though, Ukraine would probably kill anybody who tried to go over the border, because I think he had, and they made him they put him on a kill list because he was going between the two sides to try and show both sides. They didn't want to see that. Shows his propaganda on the Ukraine side. The Russians have allowed him to be in bed, if you will. I mean, you can see for yourself what's going on. You can make all this decision. But without his information, we wouldn't have this other idea that Ukraine may be doing no good. And that's light. These people in Ukraine are criminals. And I don't know what more to say about it. It's not untrue. They're saying that the Ukrainian men, young men, are being used as fodder. Till the last Ukrainian. This is a despicable condition that we see the FBI involved to stop any resistance statement against Ukraine. And they take that information and they come after you potentially if you become a big enough influencer. That this totality of the propaganda, we look at it and people are dying. We think there's a war. Russia's in a real bad position. I'm not saying one way or the other. I think they're proper. It looks like their rights, they're doing what they needed to do relative to the promises of the West and NATO to not move one inch east, and then they did. Now Russia's in a trouble. I've told you before that the West has pushed Putin's hand in order to protect his own nation, which he should. Ultimately, how it was supposed to, should have worked out, I don't know. They did have the agreement before. The Minsk agreement was a lie after the Donbass thing. Then we find out now, and I won't get too much into that. I want to get on a different direction. Then we find out Ukraine and Putin had signed a peace agreement that the United States denied. Now, what authority does the United States have at all? Well, I think we see it in the FBI going to the Ukraine to promote the propaganda. The United States is involved. I've said, everyone wants to say it's a proxy war. I've said it's not a proxy war when they attacked Russia economically. That was a direct war. The show is the battle going on in the Ukraine to make it look like something and to give them a thing to propagandize, while what the real problem and point it will be is this money laundering condition that we find out, the real economic power in the world playing out, as we find out Ukraine conflict effing good for business, BlackRock Recruiter says in a James O'Keefe video, Project Veritas, now moving to whatever James O'Keefe was doing, these investigative reports, the BlackRock the Recruiter. Varley also boasted about his employer's control of the political system. Quote, it's not who the president is, it's who's controlling the wallet of the president, he declared, clarifying that it was the hedge funds, BlackRock, and the banks who run the world. Quote, all these financial institutions, they buy politicians. You can take this big F-ton of money, and then you can start to buy people, he said, explaining that the senators were effing cheap. You got 10 grand, you got to buy a senator. The United States government also needs BlackRock to run its financial simulations, he said. And so another piece of the layer of the onion rolls out, what we've been talking about behind the woodshed, who the players are, the deal, the reconstruction before the war is done, before Russia is finished. And I'm telling you folks, Russia just changed. They said there is no end to this until we stop it completely. Putin said they took this peace deal and they threw it in the trash bin of history. We're going to finish it now. There is no other answer. So what they're doing post construction about, I don't really know. But that's what BlackRock has been involved in. That's what I've reported on what's going on. That's what the anticipation of the United States government is for that. There's a whole lot bigger play going on. If you don't have this information, well, I don't know what this information does to people, but if you don't have this information and it seems to make sense and it seems to be important, then we wouldn't know. We could all be lulled into the fact that the United States is doing the honorable thing, the white hat thing. Again, this is information. If you have FBI going after people that are going to expose these things, we won't, as a society, have this information to know better, to come to conclusions quicker. Whether or not we do anything about it, I guess, is one thing, but that we don't know, and we are lulled into a superiority, exceptionalism position when it's not true. Well, it just makes us look like fools on the one hand, but it makes us enemies to people, in fact, around the world. And we're watching that play out as well. BlackRock, with enough money, this was known long ago, when you start realizing this fiat system creates this bulk, it can just make any money it wants. It's not really out of thin air. There's an accounting of sorts. It's not unaccountable, but it's on this fiction called the full faith and credit of the United States, and that seems to be your agreement when you don't say much or don't have a say. There would be so much money that could be printed that they could buy your property, they can buy rights, they can buy everything. Just give me the machine that prints the money and I'm happy is what I've been told has been said, and they do it, and they did it, and they got the power to do it. And this is a world that we're living in, where these moneyed people, it's all on paper, it's all debt too, don't underestimate, this is the stinking abyss, there's nothing capitalistic here, it's all based in these frauds called fiat and the paperwork that they run that everybody agrees has value. But it has none. It's all a debt. They've been able to come back and buy the world. And essentially, the people have led it. And they've made it so obscure, it's hard to kind of get through that. So the gentleman, Barlay, says, essentially, war is good for business. They don't want the war to stop there either. Now, if you understand where the contact line is, that means the United States should be dumping a whole lot more stuff in there just to keep that line there so they can keep the war working. Why? Because, as the gentleman will also explain, Ukraine is a big producer of wheat. If you know that the Russians are going to destroy a wheat system and you're an investor, you get to invest, that wheat gets destroyed, you invest in the system, the price goes up, as soon as it reaches the top, you sell, and you made yourself millions on a deal, minute by minute, microsecond by microsecond. They can make contracts to be reconstruction that's going to be destroyed by the Russians over and over and over. Eventually you, my dear taxpayer in the United States, supposedly pays for all this. So we have this, a link from Gerald Salentry with that video. You can watch it and listen to it. That's one where I put it together for you just to show you that here you can hear somebody do. You need to hear the guy saying it. This is not just conjecture, some report somewhere. This is how this world works. It's all seemingly corrupted. So it's very hard to think about, well, how do we uncorrupt it? And we should be able to live in an uncorrupt world. Well, we should, but how do we get there now? Not only the psychopaths are running, the money, so-called money controllers, pay off your system. So, get to the point. We look at the politicians in the United States, and they go from owing money to millionaires over a few years, and we wonder how. Well, this is here. This is the system. It's now becoming apparent. It's almost old news, but see, that's what happens. It's old news. Who cares? No one's going to happen. That's why nothing happens. And we continue to complain about living in a society that has no law, no rights. We look around watching stores close because people, jurisdictions won't prosecute petty crime. I mean, unless it reaches up to a felony, they just don't want to do it. So your companies are being stolen. They can't sustain that. They're going to close. And you're watching that happen at a time of an economy that's not being supported, in a time that if they were going to replace all that, they can't afford it because the interest rates on the loans are going up to limit the amount of local generation of wealth, even in the exchange. The whole system is made to be controlled and not produce a wealth. New undercover video by James O'Keefe dooms corrupt D.C. politicians. The chant, I suppose, you can buy a senator for $10,000. Just another story of a gentleman from BlackRock who may or may not still be a recruiter explaining that BlackRock doesn't want to be known about this. He also says that. But that we can buy people says a lot about that state of things and why they continue, why we're watching the anomalous. If we, again, I think people are responding because they thought there was truth and justice in the American way, and then realize that was usurped. And the American way now becomes what everyone can get away with. And I keep telling you that 2008, where the fraud was monetized, told us that fraud rules the world now. What you can get away with rules the world. And we watch as this goes on. This now shows it's not what you know, it's who you know. That one caught me. I thought it's if you could be really sharp and you're intelligent and you try to apply yourself, by maybe you get somewhere in the world. But actually, it kind of works out. Who do you know that can help you along as you go? And so that was that truth didn't come to me for a long time. And I don't deal with people what they can do for me, so I'm pretty much out of the privilege of being advanced into a place. Child of privilege, Hunter Biden dodges stiffer charges despite admitting serious crimes. Again, this corrupt system, it's been put in place and it runs, and we don't like it. And I'm not saying that, and what do we do about it? But we don't like it, but it continues. But we see how privileged people, it's who you know and who they know and what influence they have that actually runs this thing. It's been an illusion that there's been, if you will, the rule of law, that law would run and an objective review of indiscretion and probable cause-based indictment would bring justice, whatever that ends up being too, but in our best sense. It doesn't. The United States Department of Justice announced on Tuesday it had filed charges against Hunter Biden, an international businessman and the son of the United States President Joe Biden, related to refusing to pay income tax and illegal possession of firearm. The problem with the firearm is they're going to do some pre-trial diversion program, and if he completes the diversion program, he won't have that on his record. Where the problem was, he was found to be a drug addict with a gun in the state or in the government, found that to be wrong. And so that's the way they're going to get rid of it. He doesn't even have that on his record. They went after the income tax, not all the fraud that we heard back in Ukraine. And the income tax is him just having to come up with the payments that he didn't pay. And again, you can just make up what you need. If you have the connection, just make it up and pay the fine, right? It's just a small, it's a percentage, essentially, of your overall life corruption. So this is how, at the same time, Trump gets 37 indictments on mishandling paper, which, look into that case. Trump is really not doing himself any favor, but notwithstanding that, 37 count felony counts of what Trump did versus what we saw looked to be probable cause to believe there was much greater crimes. It's admitted in the story there was much greater crimes admitted in a plea deal. That gets essentially the child of privilege, Hunter Biden, the privilege of not having to do jail time or anything else. Now, we all see the injustice, but this is, again, just an evidence that we don't have the country that we thought existed anymore. And we really have to think about, well, do we just give up into it and stop our whining? And we start watching, what, cats and dog pictures on Twitter? U.S. Justice Department says Hunter Biden probe continues despite reaching a plea agreement. This is another criminal-type thing, an evasion. While they have concluded this deal, this other problem crops up. They don't want anybody investigating the continuing record that's behind, like Congress. So what they've done is, while they made a plea agreement, they moved into a continuing investigation phase by the FBI and the government on Hunter Biden's other things, so that the Congress then can't they can't get at this information that may be able to allow a question as to what the deal was and whether or not it needs to move beyond an income tax problem. So we have, again, the child of privilege, which is Biden, the president's son, not being treated equal. This is where we see our at least two-tier system. It's probably more tiers than that. And it's not what you know, it's who you know, and where they're priced. And this just seems to be where the world has gone as we watch the injustice unfold. We roll our so-called republic down into a banana republic. There's no reason to believe it's any better than that. As we see delaying, divulging, and denying, a whistleblower alleges feds protected Hunter Biden from a probe. So we see who you know and what their influence is, and then their intelligence on how they best plausibly avoid a problem to be unaccountable is what is the power here. The House and Ways and Means Committee released transcripts from the testimony of two employees of the United States Internal Revenue Service who claimed that the agency was just one of several that worked to stonewall an investigation of Hunter Biden, the prodigal business son of U.S. President Joe Biden. It seemed to me he was more of the extortionate artist in some of the discussions I've seen, maybe through the communication or emails that were written, threatening the party he's talking to get something done while he's saying his dad is right there to oversee it. So This was not a businessman at all. It was someone who was placed in a position of privilege and took advantage. Maybe more power to him, but then part of the problem is that he became a drug addict, which is out in his book, which he then uses actually to get this deal. Because now he's just a drug addict that couldn't do much. So sorry for not paying the taxes. They were just not important to me while I was so under the influence. Pretty fascinating how these people do this. I wouldn't come up with all that. But that's what happens, and that's how we see what they're using in order to move this along. We find Internal Revenue Service, which you think has a lot of power to come after you, has whistleblowers that say there's stonewalling going on. So we see how the dysfunction, if you will, goes on in the agency. It's actually a function. It's a feature. Again, this is no different akin to FBI getting data on you to later use against you somewhere. The American people deserve to know that when it comes to criminal enforcement, they are not on the same playing field as the wealthy and the political connected class. The preferential treatment Hunter Biden received would never have been granted to ordinary citizens, said Committee Chair Representative Jason Smith, Republican of Missouri, in a release. So this is the whole point. Your trust and your confidence in the system is what you need to rail against. It may be all we have in a way. In mass, you just say this is not right. And then, as I've shown you, the prosecutors are pretty much immune in anything they do except where they're dishonest. And if I hear the Durham report coming through now from Congress, he may be kind of evidencing a bit of that, not for this necessarily, but when you can find that there was information that made their action dishonest in a prosecutor, you can try and go against them for that. Dishonesty removes their immunity. I don't know why more people don't point that out and make the complaint, unless it's that we're afraid that we're going to become a target to this well-oiled machine. So a whistleblower from the IRS, having all the power to destroy everybody, comes in to say that inside the system, they were protecting people. They were denying, divulging, and delaying. Well, denying is an attorney thing. Deny, deny, deny. And so the writing is on the wall. What we're seeing in the public is a bunch of misinformation and disinformation. Certainly, it's not the whole truth. The whole truth behind looks more to be, again, it's who you know and how they're connected. Now, we all understand that. What I'm saying is that this is now the leading edge of our republic, so to speak, how your government functions. Again, as they do elsewhere, they're doing to us as people. IRS whistleblower released new bombshell evidence against Biden's DOJ and AG Garland. There's your players. And several bombshells dropped by two IRS whistleblowers on Thursday evening. Among other things, the Joe Biden's DOJ buried evidence of the Hunter Biden's tax crimes and stopped U.S. Attorney David Weiss from bringing charges against Hunter in two different jurisdictions last year. I don't know more to read. You're either interested or you're not. You're interested in how this works. I don't know how you take this yet to make it powerful, but what you can do is put together how it was dishonest. And if you see A.G. Garland there, then maybe there's a way at that. Remember, too, I want to remind you, all these folks that are not prosecuting, where they're told that there's a crime, and we can get like an objective basis that there would be probable cause to be a crime, under 18 U.S.C. 3 and 4, the party who doesn't put it properly into justice, bring it to justice properly, again, that's a dishonesty of sorts, it's guilty of misprision of the felony that was missed. So if we can build enough evidence here, we can use that statute I've been repeating to you over and over to make the claim that's not just our opinion. And the one you hand it to is the one that can also be liable to misprision. Where it ends, I don't know, but at least as a population, we're starting to do more of what the law says to make the law show the law's view. That's one of the things we need to do internationally. If I go international law, you need to show the futility and there's no other action. And if you listen carefully, that's kind of what Russia does. Russia works through and shows the futility. That's what they're saying. When you threw our peace agreement that we agreed to between you and me, when you threw that out, when you let the United States influence you to disregard that, you threw that into the dustbin of history. You're done. You're history. So we have to sort of do that thing, I think, in a direction. How we go about it, who does it, how many of us do it, I don't know all about that. I just know we're not doing any of it. Something has to move along if we expect to see a real change. It's not in voting. It's not in the people you vote, because they're all bribable, apparently, for $10,000 as a senator. IRS agent claimed that he can go into anyone's house at any time. And I find this all comes out at the same time, roughly. How does an IRS agent telling Jim Jordan in the Congress The House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan is told that I can go into a house as by an IRS agent anytime. He could also do it under the pretense of being an agent. And these folks can't go after Hunter Biden in the proper way. And again, that's only the tax side. That's not the crime side that they're all just, everyone's not looking at. An IRS agent has the power to go into anyone's house or that. Well, now they're saying that's not actually right. Well, anyway, that's how they work. They may say now because it's now out that they already know that they do this. But he comes right out and says it. And he can do it as if not even, there wasn't even a liability in the so-called taxpayer. This is the other problem. They just assume that this, well, this lady was a taxpayer based on some prior filings. And so that's what he claims. Now, he owns that property. He owns that lady. He owns everything about her. No, he doesn't, but that's the attitude they take. He has that much power, and that attitude sits in that agency, and they can't go after a Hunter Biden, is what the whistleblowers say. Now, this is a problem. Jim Jordan's on it. He's making announcements about it. Well, what are they going to do about it? I don't know. I don't know. But I see 18 U.S.C. 3 and 4 sitting there. Now that they know this is going on, someone has to do something about it, or they become in the felon. They become a misprision of the felon. To my mind, keep going. Keep bringing up the next guy, the next guy. And the official, the representative, has the power to keep track of that. And it means something more than maybe you and I, that's for sure. So we could help maybe Jim Jordan pull that along. I don't know. Someone with an attitude and agency, do you think the IRS agent has any different attitude than the FBI, the DHS, the ATF, and any of those other jerks? I don't think so. I really don't think so. Moving into now the other agency that actually rules all this, the fiat currency system. Inverted signals, they say here. Inverted signal, we're getting the signal that just, there's no justice. It's inverted of what the republic was supposed to be, and it's going to show us the stinking abyss. It's going to collapse in on itself at some point. And we move on to this. I just want to really make this knowledge to people. This, all this stuff is not going away. It's going to be part of our life, and they're going to make it tough. And again, I told you this denial about where this thing is going, what these eight federal agencies do underneath fraud, the fiat, what everyone thinks and believes and trusts and has confidence in, is destroying them. And there's no accountability to a deepening inverted yield curve signals investors expect U.S. recession. You're watching a system that's collapsing in on itself, and they're attempting to make it look like it's not. And this story in the deepening inverted yield curve that has always predicted a recession. I'm not so sure we're not already in it. And it kind of says that here in this story. Why this is important is because it's what I was telling you. They move this interest rate problem. They can't avoid the interest rate. Yellen was just handed the ability to make more money out of whatever she's going to do in order to solve problems. She's already asked for $1 trillion. And so this making more of these fiat bucks causes the interest rate to have to go up. And so we're watching the theft of your ability to go to work. You're watching the theft of the ability of businesses to continue to get loans that they can afford in a system that's collapsing on prices and whatever demands on the business, like theft. On Wednesday, the yield for a 2-year treasury bond was 4.74%, and for a 10-year-old bond was 3.7%, a gap of nearly an entire percentage point, which hasn't been seen since March. So it already happened once. Situation commonly known as an inverted yield curve because it's a reverse of normal trends has been around since April of 2022, when the Fed first began its interest rate raising offensive against record high inflation. However, it reached its widest point in more than 3 months on Wednesday after Fed Chairman Jerome Powell told lawmakers that more hikes were almost definitely on the way. They're on the way, and the interest rate can't be slowed down, as far as I can tell. And this is a objective basis you can use to realize this is coming, folks. Don't disregard it. I don't know what y'all do. I don't have any real advice more than to say position yourself in places that this hurts you less. This was a predictable thing in our history. This is a, they say, deepening. No, this is a collapse. It's collapsing in on itself. It was fabricated. This thing should end. We should end it. End the Fed is not a joke, but the way it's been promoted is kind of a joke. I don't profess that side, oh, end the Fed. It's not trite what you talk about when you say end the Fed. It needs to be ended, but it's not just end the Fed. See, our whole society's now been built around it. It can't be just a slogan. And these people have us locked in by the throat relative to our society in this fiat condition. I guess there's some economists that would agree parts of the system work. I'm not talking about all that. I'm saying these people in this role have allowed this system to get to a point that's not really actually controllable. And that's going to drive us people. People are going to be hurt. And that's part of it. Remember, austerity, it's right there. They're going to be able to drive this in also to the CBDC. You think you can't give up your personal data then? You think that what I've been reading about, the DHS, the FBI going to get personal data to stop and censor you on their determination of misinformation, where the EU, which they're tied in with and have to be globally because that's the internet, is saying you can't run, you can run, but you can't hide? Are you painting that picture that it's real, it's happening, it's in our face right now? And one thing I didn't understand for myself, why I was so interested, although I've now come to a little bit of a reason, something deep and something collapsing in on itself, a story has come up. It captured some people's attention. At first, I did, you know, it's a couple billionaires, you know, doing something that they want to do and doing risky stuff. And I wasn't too interested, but as the story started moving on, my mind, because of my history of being interested in oceanography, and looking at, even in my sketchbook, if you will, of solving problems for science and doing things in science, because that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be an oceanographer, as I told you. Inner space is less known about than outer space. Inner space may be even more, I think it is, more challenging to deal with than outer space. Likely why we're in outer space and not much in inner space. But that was part of the draw, part of it. And so we see a deepening in the so-called resistance. That's all man-made stuff. We have to go against nature. It's even worse. And this week we had an event that happened. Sadly, it doesn't turn out well. And almost, though, predictable. And this is what I want to get at. But I don't want to get at the issue because I don't know why I'm really talking about it to anybody. This is maybe more of a private interest to me in the technologies and the science and all that. What I'm noticing, and what finally came to me, is this week I'm talking about information and the control of information. And who has it, who they go after it, how they control information. That we need, as a people, everywhere, people need information that's proper. Even, I'm saying, it's bad, maybe bad information, but we then have to discern the bad, and throw it out, and then use the good. So that we can make better decisions. For me, this next story that people may or not be interested in, maybe, oh, just a bunch of billionaires that just took a risk too far. But I realize at the end, it turns out we're looking at a misinformation campaign. And I was looked at that and I go, well, there's my reason to talk about this to you. The government even uses this horrible condition that happened in order to run cover for a bunch of stuff. And hopefully we'll get through this real quick to show you. I just want to touch some of it, because maybe some people don't find interest in it. But the search for OceanGate's missing Titanic sub widens as crew name comes to light. I'm just going to start here. There's a bunch of tabs. There was things and thoughts I was going through. I heard this and I said, well, that's unfortunate for sure. Gone missing. No big story in my mind about it. And so I kind of left it for that night, I think it was. And then the next morning, I guess I'm sleeping on it. I go, wait a minute, something's not right here. And I don't know the story, but we know that there's other things going on sometimes in these stories. And I was still intrigued. I was intrigued by this OceanGate's Titanic sub. Why? Part of me was, in oceanography, learning that we are very limited in our ability to get places in the ocean. A long time ago, I started sketching up ideas on how to get me into the ocean a little bit better. And the fascination I had at the time, and this wasn't available then, so this is like I'm coming up with this stuff on my own. Which I found out later, as we go through this thing about the Titanic, the players in my life that weren't, I didn't know, but came in history, were right here to be about this Titanic. Started to show me maybe more why I was still becoming interested. But that this whole story becomes another story beyond the tragedy. That the crew's come to light. This became interesting as I read through and I found out that there's two people that were on the Titan, which was the exploratory craft that went to go look at the Titanic. In a commercial operation where they hired seats to have people be there. They trained them as so-called mission specialists. I'm not saying they weren't trained, but they were people who paid money to be there and were made to be something effectual, I guess, on the trip there. That one was a Pakistani-born businessman named Shahzada Dawood. And that didn't make any sense to me. And then I read, the names come out, and we hear that it's the owner of the company. We hear that there's a writer, a a wealthy man and his son, and another deep sea diver, remote driver, if you will, sitting in there as well, going to go down, and they're going to do this research on the Titanic. Why are these the first people? Shahzada Daywood is a longtime supporter of the Prince's Trust International and the British Asian Trust, both of which are charities founded by Charles. So Prince's Trust was done when Charles was the prince. This is connected to the king. I'm not going to say too much more. I just found it interesting. Of all the people in the world to be there, it's someone connected to the King of England. And a trust. And a very wealthy guy at that. And what might be there, I don't know. But I'm not really focused on that. I'm just looking at what's going on in this story. Why is this a story at all? There have been dives before. They're serious dives. They're seriously dangerous dive that's going on with this. And I'm astonished that there hasn't been more accidents. But they're not. So that says that there shouldn't be too many here. And so that kind of started to catch my interest. And then the story started to roll out. The best and worst case scenarios to explain Titan's loss of contact with the surface. This started my, the anomalies and what was coming through started to not make sense to me that caught my interest. How would they lose contact? Just again, these taps as how I went along as seeing what was being promoted at the time as important. Titan sub, cramped vessel is operated by a video game controller. Now, that was to bring up the idea that maybe this was done kind of cheaply. And in a way, it was done in an inexpensive way. These are research vessels that are experimental. But I actually didn't find a problem with using a game controller, given that their systems are computer controlled, myself. I do know those controllers aren't made to military, if you will, standard. They're not made to a industrial standard. And they do have a problem. They can have problems, but I suppose you could carry an extra one. Likely not going to be a problem. There's also the manual selection systems that should be on board. I don't know anything about this sub, so I don't know about that these are there, but these are typically what you throw in. But there was being a big deal made over this this controller. And I said, well, why would that be? Why are they making the issue here? And then it got a little bit worse of an idea. Was the missing Titanic submersible using satellites from Elon Musk's company? A question. Starlink is a subsidiary of SpaceX, which Elon Musk runs. Somebody brought out that the Titan, the submersible, was using SpaceX to actually communicate. And my mind immediately went to what training I've had or an understanding I had about the ocean and all this communication. I didn't know that satellites could go into the ocean. And I said, am I that out of place that I don't know that satellites can go in the ocean, was my question. I started to look, and it turns out that SpaceX and satellites cannot communicate in the ocean. And if you read the stories very carefully, and if you didn't, you could believe that SpaceX was talking to the submersible. When in fact, when you read the story, and this started to be showing the specificity with what the company was talking, they said that they were thankful to Elon Musk to be able to communicate. They were. The ship was able to communicate outwardly. So they weren't actually speaking to the submersible through Starlink and couldn't. Technologically, they can't. And they, to my knowledge, they weren't on a line, a cable line. They were free. And so science-wise, my mind is saying there's something really improper about the reporting on all this. Either people have a vast misunderstanding, which is likely, about the ocean and what goes on. Not that I'm an expert. I certainly walked away a long time ago. But there's certain things that never change about some of this thing, unless technology alters, which is possible. I may have missed that, but I didn't. It ends up that I didn't. My questions were starting to be proper. Why were they bringing up controllers and Starlink being a problem, unless this is a bit of a diversion? I went right to their website, and I can't find their website now. The OceanGate website's down. I guess they dropped their server. So I have a link for you just to show you that. But I had to find some alternative information, but I was able to get to archive.org and find the archive of it, where it talks about the fact that is there Wi-Fi inside the submersible. So this would be the first inclination that I could get to the satellite if I can get up to the ship. I don't think you can, but I'm going to read. I'm going to listen to the company. I'm not going to make it up anymore. It says this. There is Wi-Fi network within the submersible, but it only connects components within the sub itself. The only communication link between the sub and the surface is via USBL system described above. And that USBL system is the acoustic system that is normally done. Again, this is all just standard stuff that they haven't changed. It's an acoustic system that they use. Water is very dense. It's good for sound. You're going to find out they can use that to travel long distances. It's how whales communicate for long distances. Acoustics is how they do this. And that's the communication. Well, acoustics wouldn't be able to get to the satellite. And so what they were talking about was that the ship could reach the satellite. Makes sense. The sub cannot. The sub is on a simple text-based transmission system that is so low data throughput that audio can actually transmit. Neat, but it's not what we were told. Starlink's story is a misdirection. And this started to be more interesting to me. I wanted to know now what's really going on. What is this craft? Why would it lose its communication on a simple hydrophone system, if you will? And this is because I'm already getting an idea. And I want to know now, what is this sub? And I run to their website that you can't get at this point. And I have to get a surrogate point to find some information for you here. And you get this tab. I wanted to know, what's the service depth of this craft? And I want to know what its systems are like. What's on it? What is it doing for safety and redundancy? And I read this part relative to the craft hull itself. The OceanGate website claims that a combination of groundbreaking engineering and off-the-shelf technology gives the Titan a unique advantage over other deep-diving subs. Specifically, the company points to its real-time hull health monitoring system. And they're saying that this is not in any other sub. Well, it's also proprietary. Yeah, but I'll tell you something, folks. I just got a cold chill when I read that. Because where they're going is has so much pressure, and it's equal. It's an equal pressure. It's pushing everywhere at the same relative to its surface area. How you would get a deflection early enough that a hull health monitoring system would work blew me away. I did not understand how that could happen because there would be no deflection that it could see until the end, until it failed. And so that caused me to feel I already started making a decision on this. I just needed to know what was the service ceiling, the service depth. And on their website, which I don't have now, but I got it in surrogate, would be that it said it was service depth was 13,123 feet. The Titanic is said to sit around 12,500. That only gives us about a few hundred feet. 13,000 feet to 12,500 feet is not much of a margin. And when I saw that, and I saw this hull monitoring system, and I saw what there, and I saw that it was made out of carbon composite. And if you know anything about carbon composite, they may be strong, but they're not necessarily fail-proof at all. Why the aircraft industry has to do extenuous certification checks. I posted a question. It's not a question, but it's a question. Anyone else see the potential concern that the Titan specification to get to the Titanic is service depth is 13,123, and the Titanic exists more than 12,500 feet beneath the ocean surface. Margins, I asked. Possible rapid unscheduled compaction. Titanic curse, OceanGate. Titanic curses would be Titanic 2.0. And I made a particular word use, compaction. I don't think people appreciate what's going on there, and I see it become, I'm not going to die on the hill I'm charging to make this word the word. I'm just saying that it sends an incorrect impression of what's going on in the force that's involved, what water, what the ocean's about, how serious it is, that what I didn't see in the information was about cycle fatigue. Cycle fatigue is how many times you can run something to its service parameters before it finally gives up because of the stress upon it. And so this was also in my mind. My mind just kind of going through. I'm taking a lot longer to explain than my mind was going through to start thinking about this. As I was thrown back into a time when I was in high school, I took advantage of a science trip to Hawaii, where I was shown, and you can now see this on the internet. Before, there was no internet at this time. If you throw styrofoam cups over and throw them into the deep, and I think we were running about 3,000 feet. We threw them in about 3,000 feet. In a basket that was made. It was an oceanographic vessel. I was training myself to be functional in an oceanographic studies capacity because that's what I wanted to do. So I invested in a trip over that was done, I think it was called GeoTrek, I don't remember, but it was studying the sciences of, getting involved in the sciences around Hawaii. It was a Hawaiian trip, but it was also, we did a lot in the sciences to study the flora and fauna, as they told us. We got to the ocean and we threw our basket in. It was supposed to be just a basket, a collection basket for the scrape the bottom, see what's on the bottom. We threw some styrofoam cups in and threw them over the side, went about maybe 2,500, 3,000 feet, I think it was. And I'm not quite sure, I can't remember now, my memory's failed on exactly, but it was fairly deep. And those styrofoam cups, a normal cup, came up, and they looked like thimbles. Only explaining this story, that's what my mind did, because I remembered how much force is down in the ocean. It's a lot. And this was deeper than what we saw the styrofoam cups that went from cup size to thimble. They literally fit over your finger. Pretty cool. Pretty neat and rigid. They got pressed. Well, they got squoze, folks. They didn't get, the word will be coming up, the implosion. What happens is you go down and you get squeezed bad. It's like a big hydraulic press. That what we find out is 2.8 tons per square inch. You got to look at your fingers, put a finger to index finger to thumb, make about a square inch, and consider there's almost 3 tons of pressure on every space like that on this hull and the end caps. And that compresses a styrofoam cup, squeezes all the space out of it, that they make this cup out of, and it squeezes it down to 1/10 of its size or so, is the type of pressures you're dealing with. It's a compressive force. So this predicts something. You keep doing that to a funk, to a thing, as you see the cup reduced down to size. Well, these structures are resistant to shape changes and size changes, but they are strained. And that's a cycle fatigue that goes on that has to be checked. Then we find out that there was a detected hull failure in the study as I'm going through. Now I'm looking for this stuff. I've only got a 600 feet differential between its service depth and where it's at. It's not the 25% I've been told you engineer things to protect them. I do this in electronics. If I'm going to design a circuit, I don't just put it at the currents I need. No, I added 25%, and then I go look for special cases and see if I'm even protected for those. Not an infinitesimal point difference of margin. So there was a big problem in my mind as I'm going through trying to anticipate what's going on here. We're being told all these stories about all these irrelevant things like Starlink and the controller and these things. And we lose communication when it was above the area of the Titanic. It's not necessarily over the Titanic. But we have this, I did a quick check, and there was a detection of a hull failure that was checked and found in 2018 to tell me we have a problem. In 2020, there's another one, I suppose. I can't remember now, there was a complaint and then there was a finding. So we already have evidence that there is a cyclic fatigue problem in these systems that I don't think was appreciated. The story I have for you, I had to get from somewhere else to show you. This brought me back to the hull system they made great fanfare about, this hull monitoring system. You'll read here that the environment that you're dealing with is so demanding and exacting that a hull monitoring system could not react to a change because it shouldn't be changing at all until it fails. And so you may want to check on the internet about what they call implosion. This is really a compaction problem, as I explained with the styrofoam cup. This is a pressure like a hydraulic press. It's all around equal force, 2.8 tons per square inch. Pushing in. The system is integral to resist until it's not. The hull monitoring system, I could not conceive working. I now have the report now after the fact that they would have had microseconds of knowledge to do what I thought they would have had more time had they just did the fatigue study, not go in and have an integrated hull. That pretty well predicted what we were looking at. And I went through another analysis. Why? Because I also didn't know the emergency ascent system, which is really just dumping weight. You dump different things. And they had mediocre ballast systems. But then I wanted to know, well, there was no information at all. Did they have them? How many? What was the systems? What's the odds of this thing getting trapped? Because no one knew what was going on with all this. And why would this thing not show back up? Because my ideas on what I was told early on when I was looking at making these things, robotic undersea, underwater submarines were not even really a thing when I was looking at these stuff. They were new. There was what intrigued me. I had just gotten into radio-controlled surface boats. That's how I knew you can't really use a submarine, not too deep anyway. And so I was just getting into, I said, well, if we can take these, because we don't have, man does not have access to the ocean but for a few feet. maybe to 1,000 feet if you're a professional diver with all the equipment, but mostly like 130, and then you only got like 10 minutes. Not very long. How do we get down and start investigating our world, our inner world, the inner space? Was to, the idea came from these rovers. This was all kind of before it was even any thoughts. How do you get down deeper? Well, I had a design for that. It ends up that I had maybe tapped into a prior design, didn't know it because we didn't have the internet. I'm just doing it the library study on how do you do this stuff. Found out there was actually a ship. It's called Flip. In order to put a column of a tube into the water to get you down 300 feet. Why? Because it was a minimal oceanographic study that you were doing. You couldn't get many places. It was all hands off anyway. The environment is that difficult. But we saw hull failure problems, and I realized what maybe we were dealing with pretty quickly. All this started to bring up these ideas that I've had that this guy that comes into my awareness way in the 80s, and he's now a professor, Professor Robert Ballard. I looked at his back when, and I found out about him because I think he came into the news. I looked back when, and he followed what my mind was I wanted to do in part about oceanographic studies and what he did. When he found a path, and I found out he was who he knew that got him into Scripps Institute Oceanography, which I couldn't get in. I don't care how many letters I sent when I was young. I don't care how many letters I sent off to explorations and expeditions like Philippe Cousteau. Can I get on your exploration? I'll volunteer just to get involved. None of that ever panned out. Well, I looked at his record, his history, and Robert Ballard was involved in all this kind of neat stuff. He was involved with making underwater submarine rovers, remote control, cable. He's the guy eventually that finds the Titanic. How interesting to me, just as an interest, not more than that. And he comes back in, and I'm reminiscing now to go back through and see, am I qualifying this information based against the facts that were being told? And the knowledge, the information that's coming late, that you can find in minutes if you had a knowledge about these things. And once, in Monday, I think it was, I had said, wait a minute, there's something that I need to look at. It didn't take too long to come to the conclusion where I sent the tweet out. Do you see a problem with this differential? It wasn't a question. This was a problem. This is a cycle fatigue problem. My service depth is essentially right at where I'm going. Not a good sign, not a good design. So Robert Ballard came into my mind. Then the Flip came back because I didn't know about the Flip. This is exactly, I had drawings about this ship, although not identical. Mine was actually powered. This one's a towable thing. It's like 355 feet long. They flood it's long and skinny, and they flood one of the compartment at the end, and it tips down into the water, and the bow comes up, and it's your research platform. Kind of neat. I'd have everything on swivels, so it goes up 90 degrees. So they had already designed this before I wrote it up as an objective thing to say, how can we get people into the water deeper so we can do more observations? So it was in history there, just reminiscing. Okay, so I'm going back through and validating my thoughts about design and what's incorporated, what's needed, and how it works. But while I'm looking at this terrible story rolling out, relative to some people going down for, to me, it's almost a frivolous thing. And I guess that's the underlying idea. That, again, the water has pressure far below the surface of the world's ocean. The tough place for foam cups. I have the link for you when I get here now. Relative to reminiscing, what I went through, went to Hawaii. This is where I learned about this problem of the deep. And it's unforgiving. It's instantaneous disaster. And I'm looking at this problem and saying, I don't see the certifications that would protect it. And right away, I'm thinking, this thing's done. Why? So the next thing I want to know, what was their emergency ascent? And I finally came across someone who was discussing it, talking about what might be available. And I would go to now down through a People article of one of the gentlemen that was trained to go in. And I don't know that I think he's the gentleman that actually doesn't go because they do have a problem. But he says, and really, the only emergency that you can do anything about is a fire in the cabin. So he showed us where, this is the Rush guy, the owner. So he showed us where the fire extinguisher was. We tried putting on the smoke mask. Beyond that, the only thing you can do about a disaster is rise to the surface as quickly as possible. And Stockton also showed us the 7 different ways that you could do that. They can release sandbags. They can release lead construction. I don't know. It was lead construction, heavy construction pipe. They can inflate an air bladder. They can release the legs of the sub and ditch those as weight, and they can use in thrusters to get up. Well, so going through the analysis there, and I took a while. I didn't know how would you do all these mechanisms. There's ways to get at it. There's different ways to make all this happen. But when I saw the inflate the bladder, I realized that craft should be back up. Because if they got any indication of a problem, they would do that. They would get rid of all their ballast, and they would go up. They would get out of the depth and the crushing pressures. And this is now late on Monday. We're not seeing and hearing any about it. And it really shouldn't be away from the Titanic, and that ship is right there waiting for anything to come up. In fact, they wait a couple hours in case there was another thing going on. The only question was, did it get hung up somewhere and somehow on the Titanic itself? And so these holdout ideas is what then lingers our decision, is what I want to point out. Without this information, you start holding out, if you will, hope or an option that may not exist. And when I address this point on any other subject matter you have and you don't have the information to make a quick decision, and you're holding out your hope that something will be better because we want to think the best, the other side can use this stuff against you. And they can do things that may or may not be detrimental to you. When I saw that it had an inflatable air bladder, and this still doesn't actually answer, but the inflatable air bladder would lift that thing up. We should see it at the surface. If all other systems failed, we had this one. When 7 out of 7 emergency escape ascent systems failed, that was probably the answer. And I think it is. We see that. Now, sadly. The point is I'm going through having to dig up all this information. Contrary to the public MSN, contrary to even the government, the Coast Guard's reports. So there's not much you can do. And then we also have the problem of the pressure. We cannot have a fatigue on the hull. It's just not going to happen. We have another confirmation of that in 2020, an interview with GeekWire. Mr. Rush, Dr. Rush, the owner, he dies in this as well, said tests were conducted which revealed that the Titan's hull showed signs of cyclic fatigue. Cyclic fatigue was the very first thing in my mind. Did they have any kind of certification for that? Did they check it? When I saw the margins almost non-existent there on the service, I was shocked a bit, but that pretty well starts to give us the answer in a way. The immediate disconnect of the communication is one indication, but they also could track it. What about that system? That ends up being in another story. And they said that was a completely separate and isolated system. It would function even if there was no power. It had its own systems that did that. It communicated with the ship. It went out at the same time, too. So this is all happening. I'm studying this around Monday, late afternoon. It's not looking good, folks. We're not hearing the ascent system being functioned. I'm wondering why not. If that hull system worked, they should have come up. But I already know I don't think it can work. And I finally find a link now, after the fact, information late, that would tell us that is actually the case. We had lots of stories about what went wrong. We could read all this different information. Then they bring up the Canadian Air Force, said, oh, there's a banging sound out there that we're searching for. Clearly, when you know the end of the story, the banging sound's attributed to something else. This is pretty interesting. Was that made up, or what's out there, folks? Aliens? Because they cannot contribute that banging sound out to anything, but they did find it, and they heard it. And we're not told other things that are going on. British rescue mission for Titan blocked by U.S. officials. I was shocked at this. Why wouldn't you send everything you have available up there? And the United States Coast Guard told the U.K., don't leave your base. And I said, that's only one of two things. One is it won't matter, or there's a secret going on. Again, we get a little bit conspiratorial here. What are they protecting? But not so much. Why is the king involved and the British want to go in there? What's up with this? Let's not get it too out of line, but they said, the United States Coast Guard said, don't come up here. We got it handled. We got it handled with a machine that only goes down 3,000 meters. More anomalous stuff. As we know, they end up calling in the French ship, which has a rover that they then got down where they needed to see. But before that, we hear this other little interesting extension of a law. And this is what actually focused my attention. Missing Titanic sub may now be out of oxygen, U.S. Coast Guard presumes. They presume this days and days later after the missing connection of a transmission or the rising of the unit of the submersible within a day, either by the manual deployment shedding of the ballast or by there was an automatic system on it as well, I find out later as well. Again, more information. That if you had known all this, we could make a decision pretty quick and get to reality of what needs to happen. Oceangate missing submersible may have exploded on way to Titanic was the next story after they're claiming that there was maybe the Coast Guard was believing there was a little bit more oxygen. We're about running out about now. That put us in around Thursday. Find out that the Coast Guard was lying to us. This is the whole theme today. The information we have, they can continue a lie, which then covers other things as we'll get to. This is one of the stories here. This Oceangate could have exploded is incorrect. It doesn't explode. And it actually isn't an implosion, though the word implode would be proper, if you want to understand how weird this is. This is a giant hydraulic compactor, is what this is. Though I use the word compaction. This squoze stuff. It doesn't implode by a force within its system as a vacuum tube or a planet, as you'll see when you get to implosion. Implode has no condition for the compression, the consolidation. Implosion does, has systems that are working that aren't a part of this. Not going to die on that, fly my flag on the word implosion, but it's actually a compaction. And it's not an explosion, although the dynamic is so violent. The heat that's generated in compressing the air bubble inside is such that it could very well create 8 to 1,000 degrees temperature in an instant. But it's an instant, and that's what you'll see. These folks, as tragic as it sounds, didn't have a moment to, it didn't even register, I don't think. It happened so fast. We never get to the point that the safety system, that only the dissolvable hooks that were in it, that I was holding out maybe didn't take but a couple days. It actually dissolves in 24 hours. Those dissolvable hooks release sand, the ballast of which drops. That's even if there was everybody unconscious, this thing should have been at the surface 24 hours after it was put in the water. And we see the Coast Guard saying that they expect that the oxygen would be running out 3 or 4 days later. It is, I don't know what to say. I can't even believe that we were told this stuff, given the design. But notice that the Oceangate did not give those designs. They did not give any of this information. I'm having to tease this out of stories looking for people talking about it. Then we get to the fact. Titanic sub passengers died in implosion. Catastrophic. Folks, this is instantaneous. There's a big hydraulic press operating. I didn't do the calculation. The surface area times 2.8 tons per square inch. Done. It's over. Boom. It makes a noise. And then we find out after. The secret U.S. naval system detected Titan implosion. Same day vessel went missing. It should say that the same day it imploded would be a better statement there. And they detected that the same day. They actually, now the new story is, and the updates are, and I'll have some update links if you're interested to see how this went through. They are now getting at the timing very close to the time they lost both communication and tracking. That's a catastrophic failure. That destroyed a completely separate system as well, how violent this is. I can't even believe this, that they didn't have a cycling fatigue certification on this. It's just mind-boggling. But we find out that this was a concern. We find out one of the problems that the industry was on Stockton Rush about, don't do it like this. I predicted this at the beginning too, was that now that there's been deaths, the governments will get involved. And you'll see one of the stories that now you see they're going to have to consider regulation for these things. Maybe good. But this is where you start to see when you fail at something and cause a harm, the government steps in that vacuum to regulate everything. Where before you were free to go on as long as you didn't hurt anyone. And so this tragic event actually brings on this regulation. What I'm suggesting is this example of how the harm brings on the need by the government to protect, and now they're in your life. And they were trying to avoid that part, not being unsafe. They just didn't want the extra. The regulation, you know, causes problems. It's like the regulation of your Second Amendment. All of a sudden, I have to have permission to get a gun, and in Oregon, you have permission to get a gun to get a gun. You got permission to get one? It's nonsense. But this whole thing is now could lead to regulatory actions, was the very thing they were trying to avoid had they been good up front and did their needed and known certification systems. And I, again, this is predictable. Right up front. I didn't have a question. I was only holding out hope on my ignorance, the information I couldn't get. That was actually being blocked by MSN or the people themselves, the company, or the government. The government saying, oh, they're running out about 96 hours later. They're about running out of oxygen now, knowing full well they were gone before, I don't think they get to the Titanic. The last report was it was 3,500 meters, which means they still had 500 meters to go, 1,500 feet. And this thing fatigues well above its rated certification depth, isn't it? And no strain gauge is going to find that quick enough. It's all equal pressure. It's going to collapse when it goes, instantaneously. But then we see the lies that we kind of pick up here relative to, though there's oxygen left in the Coast Guard, knowing we do see someone, and I pulled this up, kind of epitomizes what was going on in the government, utilizing something to cover other things. U.S. Navy knew the Titan was destroyed since last Sunday, but the story clogged newsfeed all week, taking away from J.P. Morgan deleting emails. That's a story, too. I can't get to all this stuff here, but J.P. Morgan deleting emails. Now they don't have any evidence of the wrong that they were asked to expose. Joe Biden impeachment, Pentagon misallocation of Ukraine funds, Hunter Biden charges, John Durham congressional hearing. All these are important things to understand is going on. She didn't write here about the IRS whistleblower that happens at the same time that this information is being drawn out by the Coast Guard, drawing this thing out to cover something they knew would have been solved on Sunday. As tragic as that is, it was solved on Sunday. That this misinformation is brought on by the government to do misinformation and giving you lack of information to make decisions and settle stuff out quicker so we can keep track of maybe the more important thing. They use this as a cover. And I want to bring up this one, the cover for what all this stuff has the same model. And we go back to the COVID swindle quickly. New email showed COVID vaccine mandates were based on a lie. No duh. But it's an interesting inverted inside out a lie. They were aware of the discussed breakthrough cases in COVID in January 2021. However, in public, Walensky was saying something quite different. 2 months after discussing the data, she said vaccinated people don't carry the virus and don't get sick. There's more to read here. I just want to get to the point. All this is a lie because there was no vaccine. There was no the virus. As a matter of local communicable disease law, all this was a lie. She is true to say they don't carry the virus because there was no virus. It was a biological weapon of a isolated protein, the spike protein that they at warp speed injected into people that didn't rely on their local communicable disease law to afford the due process potential protections. And I say potential because I don't know how everyone's going to do this. This story is very interesting to me. It's a misinterpretation of a lie that's a lie that comes up and promotes the lie was real, that there was a COVID, a symptom that could actually cause a disease, that a vaccine could work against a symptom. It's the whole thing is so convoluted. This is like the epitome. This story is the epitome of mass misinformation and disinformation, even by people attempting to try and make sense of the fact that they were duped. How convoluted the information can be made, it has to be understood, because if we're not able to discern these things, we're going to be a subject to whomever can do this to us. Why I've been talking so much about this perception management, I was surprised to be able to find this deception in such a tragedy as the folks dying on the Titan. And so I got to tell you, I don't know why it seems frivolous to me to do that. This was the whole point about making ROVs, remotely operated vehicles that can do everything people can do. They can see, if you will. We can see through the monitors. They can grab. They can touch. There's no need to risk life anymore, especially with today's technology, how great it is now, how quality it is. It might get better, but back when, maybe so. Maybe people couldn't do things with a robot. Today, there's no reason to risk. So my talking about this isn't because I'm interested that someone died, although that's tragic. It's that I don't even know why they were there in one regard. But look at what it looks like is covered by a disaster that gets sprung by the government, by the attackers against you, to keep us dumbfounded without information. The information we might need to finally fire us up to say, this is enough, we're going to stop. I'm going to decide to take responsibility for me here on this point and do something about it. I hope something I said today is helpful. I'll be with you next week. Tech Diffs in Nature.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, Journey with Purpose.
Opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son,
just open a whole case of Wolfpath.